We're in this series that we've titled Deepen, and last Sunday I preached a message talking about deepen my discipline and what would it look like to go beyond the surface in your discipline. It comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's look at the second part of that verse. The scripture says, rather, in other words, instead of getting distracted, rather discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Paul is saying to his young disciple Timothy, if you're going to experience godliness, it's not going to happen by luck. You can't get lucky into godliness, amen? It's not going to happen by a light switch going on or off. It's not going to happen by chance. You're not just going to drift and suddenly end up more godly. But here's what we do know. The more godly you become, the better you'll be. The more godly you become, the happier you'll be. The best version of you is the most godly version of you. And you can take that from the one who created you in his image and in his likeness. Your joy levels will rise the more godly you become. So how do you get there? You get there through discipline. So we talked about deepening your discipline. We looked at the soldier who's not distracted and entangled. We looked at the athlete who's competing by the rules. We looked at the farmer who's working hard as examples on how to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. We got a goal in mind, amen? We're talking about prayer and fasting and the disciplines. But today, what I want to do is I want to hopefully score another first down. I'm not even looking for a touchdown here. I'm looking for a first down, amen? That's football language if you are not sure what I'm talking about. I want to get another 10 yards down the field. I want to keep getting closer to our goal. And I want to preach a message that, if I can be completely honest, might make some people feel in the room and online a little bit uncomfortable. I heard it good. It's his fault. I want to preach a message that has the potential to change your life, but at the same time could cause some uncomfortability here in the room. But here's what I've learned. The longer I walk with Jesus, I've learned that either you could have comfort or you could have growth, but you can't have both. In fact, the more that you grow, you might be able to experience the fruit, which maybe even feel like comfort, but then, you know what, I think you want to keep growing and keep getting better. And so we don't want to just stay in the comfort zone. We want to go beyond the surface. We want to grow deeper. And so uncomfortability sometimes matters. And I think that's growth, and that's true for anything. I think if you go to the gym, you got to get a little bit of tension and pull. You got to get a little uncomfortable to grow. If you want to stretch your thinking and your knowledge, you got to get a little uncomfortable and maybe even spend a little bit more time digging in. If you want to grow in godliness, there might be moments of uncomfort. And this sermon could be a part of that. I want to preach a message to you today with this title, The Discipline of Today. Come on, say it with me. The Discipline of Today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Something about this day. Church, I want to remind you that we're not going backwards. Somebody give me a better amen than that, right? Right, the past is in the past. The future for us hasn't happened yet. And so we need to guard our hearts to not spend too much time and energy thinking about what was and what should have been and what I should have said and what I didn't do and how come I didn't do it, how come we did it that way, and we can get so consumed there. Or on the contrary, we could say, man, what's gonna happen and schedule this and confirm that and plan this and here's what's gonna happen then, that when are you ever current? When are you ever present? And the only promise we have right now is right now. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 6, verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here's what Jesus is saying. If you're really honest, there's enough stuff that's troubling you to focus on all of your energy today. I'm not against planning. I'm not against preparing. All of that is good stuff, and I think we should consider that. But listen, don't let that take you away from the principle that Jesus just communicated in Matthew 6. This is the day. We need to get disciplined today. James, Jesus's brother, writes in his epistle, James chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "What is your life?" I don't know if you've ever thought about that question. What is your life? Maybe it's a moment. Maybe this is a check moment right now. What is my life? James says, "Your life is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" James is saying, I caution you from jumping too far ahead with all of your ideas and your planning. Instead, you should just say, "Hey, if the Lord is willing, the only day that I have is actually today. This is the day that I have. This is the day that the Lord has made. I got to win today." Somebody say, "Win the day." Win the day. I know a lot of sports teams will oftentimes use that language, and Oregon University will use that on their shirts and their mottos. I know there's different mentalities and slogans. I just want to encourage you, this is the day. You got to discipline yourself today, because if any of you are like me, sometimes I know myself will think, "No, I like it. That's good. Ooh, that's good. That's good encouragement tomorrow." You'll say, "Man, you know what? I think this is good. I'll probably do it around March. You know what? It is football playoffs, right? And there is a lot going on. And then suddenly tax season's around the corner. And you know, family life. And you know, there's all types of, and we can make excuses out of doing what God's called us to do all day long. And I want to talk to you today about the discipline of today. And my prayer is that you'll be better for it. Some of this urgency on this message developed in me yesterday. I was sitting in this room, and I was sitting kind of in the back area of this auditorium. I took a picture right where I was sitting, and you can see on this picture, we were celebrating the life and the legacy of a guy who's part of our church named Jim Thorpe. Grateful for Jim's life. Jim is the father of two sons, Kyle and Nick. I know Nick is in California, but Kyle is part of our church family. He and his wife, Elise, so grateful for this kingdom couple. And Jim is an awesome brother, friend of mine. I remember him going to one of our men's nights and being there at Top Golf, and he was teaching us all how to swing a club. And he was talking to us all about his stories. And he wanted to see us build this Walk Church building one day. And through an aggressive battle of cancer, he ended up fighting the good fight and then running his race, and now he's at home with the King Jesus. All right. Now, I'm grateful we got to celebrate his life, but something about while I was sitting there and watching this slideshow of all these pictures of Jim throughout his journey, I just began to ask myself, when did I first connect with Jim? When did I first have a deep conversation with him? And then I began to realize the first meaningful conversation I had with him was actually in this same area at a funeral for his relative Lois. And so we sat in the same room to celebrate the life and legacy of Lois and share stories about how God moved in her life. I love Bob and Lois, part of our church. Lois went home to be with the Lord. We're praying for Bob as he's got an injury right now. And I thought, this is such a moving moment because I met him at a funeral service and now I'm at his funeral service. And something about a funeral service will give you perspective. You know what I'm talking about? Let me just help you realize that every person does actually have a start date and an end date, at least in this earthly shell. And what we do with this life and what we do with Christ will determine what happens in eternity. As one hymnal writer once said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. What I want to challenge us with here today is, what are you doing with today? How can you maximize today? And I want to grab the baton from Jim, and I don't want to fumble it. I want to make a count. I want to make a difference, and I want you to make a difference, and I want us to take our next step today. Amen? So how do we discipline ourselves today? I want to give you a few thoughts, a few points. If you want to follow along in the YouVersion Bible app or take some notes or take some screenshots, let's dive in the word here today. Point number one, make today count. I heard some, Write that down. Put it somewhere where you might see it. Make today count. Tomorrow's not promised. Yesterday's long gone. Today has enough trouble of its own. Make it count. Make today count. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. He says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." You know, the word that jumped out to me here is this. Today, if you hear his voice, because I think there's something in us. There's this narcissistic, manipulative, deceptive, demonic spirit in all of us that creates this thought of you'll do it later. But here the verse says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The Bible does teach us in Proverbs 4 to guard our hearts, but not to harden our hearts. We see this in the book of Exodus. We see a hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And I think that there's other figures throughout the scriptures, if not careful, can harden our hearts from hearing what God has to say. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, a very similar passage, the author of Hebrews now quotes from Psalm 95. Here's what Hebrews says. "As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Friend, today's the day. As you hear the Lord nudging, as you open up his book and he speaks, as you sense his spirit convicting, don't harden your heart. God's speaking to you today. Friend, I want to encourage you to do something with it. You say, "Pastor Hyden, this kind of makes me feel uncomfortable." This is where you grow. This is how you go deeper, to listen to his voice and respond. I notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul writing to the church in Corinth, here's what he says. He says, "Behold." Now, whenever you see the word "behold," that means hold up. Slow down. Listen well. "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Somebody say now. Right? It doesn't say someday. It says now. It says right now is the favorable time. Maybe you would say, "Why is now so favorable?" Here, do this for me. Participation. Everybody take a breath. That's favor. The ability to breathe. Do you know how many miracles are taking place just to get you in this room right now? The things that are at work in your eyeballs, in your brains, in your heart to be beating, and the blood to be pumping, and your lungs to be working so that you could take that breath. Now seems like a favorable time, if you ask me. I think God's shown us a lot of favor to get in this place, so that we could do something with it. What should we do with it? Today, if you don't know God, if you haven't been saved, what are you waiting for? This is the favor that God's put on your life to help you hear this word and respond, to take a step. Oh, we just had a baptism not too long before this service. If we could put that picture up from just the baptism earlier today. I love this brother Daniel. He came to know Jesus this year. Oh, it's a little bit flipped around, but you can still see it. It's okay. He's right there. He's got the sign. This is Pastor Andrew and Angie from Sunrise Cafe. This is Kelly from Sunrise Cafe. Kelly started ministering to her husband and telling her, "You got to start coming with me to church, and you got to get to know Jesus." And he started coming to walk. He got saved. He put his faith in Christ, and Kelly baptized her husband today, and I love what he said. He said before he got baptized, "There came a day where I was standing there at church, and we were singing and you were preaching, and I remember that day. And I said, I got to do something with what I'm hearing." And I realized, you know what? I can't wait. The Lord's favor is on me today to respond. I took one more picture right before this service, if I could put it up. Me and my friend Rick here, we were standing right here, and he comes to prayer night every Wednesday night, and he always intercedes for his family, and he always intercedes for his grandkids, and he prays bold prayers. He says, "I don't miss a Wednesday night." People say, "Hey, what about Wednesday night?" He said, "I already got it scheduled. I'm busy. I'm booked. I got prayer night to be at. I got to be doing spiritual business, interceding." He goes, "Man, my family's coming to church." He goes, "All of them. People are growing." He goes, "You know all those things we've been praying for is happening, Pastor Hyden?" I said, "Man, we got to take a picture. We got to take a picture." I said, "Don't stop praying." He goes, "I can't." He goes, "Today was a day where someone showed up." Friend, I want to encourage you. What about today? What could God do with your yes today? Now's the favorable time. You know, in Joshua chapter 24, you find this moment where Moses, he has passed the baton to the next up leader, Joshua. And Joshua's leading the people into the promised land, and it's not without battles and challenge and struggle. And leadership's messy and miraculous, amen? And Joshua's trying to get these gods, these lowercase g idols out of the camp and out of the people because they're picking up different bad habits and practices from different places that they're conquering and going into these different cities. And finally, Joshua has enough of it. Here's what he says in Joshua 24. He says, you know what? Listen, on this day, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day. He doesn't say choose someday. He doesn't choose next month. He says, he doesn't say I'm coming back next week. He says, choose this day. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region. Come on, don't put too much bank on history, on family origin. I think it's important, but make sure that you choose this day what you're going to do with your faith. Choose this day whom you will serve, the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell, just because it might be popular to do it. He says, you got to make a choice. He says, but as for me and my house, if you believe it, come on, say this last part with me. We will serve the Lord. Amen. You got to make a choice. Joshua says, I don't got time to flirt around with idolatry. You got to choose today. Make a choice this day. Don't wait. It might be too late. The only promise we have is right now. Joshua says, you got to make a choice to the people of Israel who you're going to serve. And I would even say to you today, all of us are serving in some capacity. Jesus would say in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve both God and money. Either money's going to dictate and lead the way you do your life, or you'll dictate the way your money should go. But I'll tell you what, money is a poor god. Money will fly away quicker than you could spend her, right? Flapping wings and is gone. Money is not faithful. But when money leaves, Jesus stays. Amen? I would say be careful that you don't serve idols and things that are temporary. God doesn't dwell in temples made by human hands. He's outside of the box, amen? And so you got to choose, who am I going to serve? Serve the Lord, the one who made you and woke you up and is for you and has done everything possible so you can be saved. Oh, friend, I want to encourage you to serve the Lord. You know, Jesus, on his journey, he's going and seeking and saving people. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus approaches an area and there's this young, well, there's this shorter statured man. We don't know exactly how old he is, but we know he was a rich man. He was a notorious sinner. He had a reputation of being not so good of a guy. He is intrigued by Jesus. His name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbs up the tree to get a better view of Jesus. Now, I love what R.C. Sproul says. He's a pastor. Pastor Sproul says, now, was Zacchaeus trying to get a better view of Jesus? Or was Jesus trying to get a better view of Zacchaeus? That's a good question to think about. I think Jesus wanted to see him. Zacchaeus climbs up into the tree, and what does Jesus say to him? Come on, watch this. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Oh, I love the today. I wonder if Zacchaeus was like, me? Like, is your name Zacchaeus? And Jesus goes, today. Hurry up and come down today. Now, how was his response? He hurried and he came down. He received him joyfully. And notice the other people around go, man, I can't believe Jesus would go to his house. But the thing that we can notice about Zacchaeus on this day, he was crazy enough to climb a tree to see Jesus. Regardless of his past, regardless of his brokenness, regardless of his addiction and his cheating and his thievery, he said, you know what? I'm breaking through all that. I got to see Jesus. No ordinary praise, no ordinary energy. He says, I'm going to climb up in this tree. It might even be dangerous. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. No time to clean up, no time to make dinner. I'm coming to your house today. I don't know about you, but I think that would maybe like stress me out a little bit. I'd be like, man, I got to like, how's the house look? You ever had somebody that was like, hey, yo, they're like walking with you outside and they're like, hey, yo, you think I could get a ride? And then you like look at your car and you're like, hold on one second, don't come in yet. All right, now you're good. Now you're good. I know that feeling well, right? Working on it. 2026, discipline year. Amen. Today, and Jesus does a miraculous work in Zacchaeus' life. He says, you know what? I got to start repenting. I got to actually give back the money I stole. I got to start making things right that were wrong. I'm going to start being disciplined this new year. Today, this was the day. Luke chapter 4, verse 21, it says, Jesus, he's preaching, he's teaching. He says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, he says, today you will be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross who put his faith in Jesus. Regardless of his past and all of his shame, being executed on the cross, he has enough faith to look at Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, today remember me. You're the King of Kings. You don't even deserve to be on here, but we do. And Jesus goes, that's enough faith for you to join me today. I love the phrase today, Mark chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. Remember when Jesus approaches the disciples there on the boat? How does the conversation go? Jesus said to them two words, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus says, what you do with this moment today will change the direction of your life. Change your vocation, your domain, your ministry. Follow me. I'll put a calling and an assignment on your life that's better than what you're doing now. I'll make you become fishers of men. And immediately, somebody say immediately. Do you see the difference? The discipline of today. Immediately they left their nets, which is a showing in a symbol of a new identity. If they couldn't follow Jesus and also keep one foot in the boat, keep one foot with the net. No, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you got to be all in. They left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Sometimes you got to leave something to start something. Amen. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to step out of the boat today. I don't know if this same calling was true another day, but I'm glad that they said yes today. We find this into the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 41. Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, bold in his faith. On one time he was denying Jesus, now he's preaching Jesus. He preaches a powerful word. 3,000 people get saved that day. On that same day, get baptized that day. Now the church is starting to be born and spark and grow. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 20, you'll find Paul in this radical transformation. Paul gets stopped by the light and he ends up putting his faith in Jesus and these scales fall off his eyes. It says immediately he started following Jesus. Immediately he started preaching the word. Immediately he went out and started doing something with his life. There was a day. Acts chapter 8, we find the first ever conversion of somebody from Africa. You find the Ethiopian eunuch who's sitting there in a chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, trying to understand the Bible. God sends Philip, a missionary, next to the chariot. Philip says, what are you reading? He says, I don't know. I'm not sure what this means. Philip says, can I tell you? Philip jumps in the chariot that day and begins to explain from Isaiah 53 all the way to Jesus, the suffering servant who paid for our sins, who died on the cross, who got up from the grave. And that Ethiopian eunuch, he put his faith in Jesus. Now look at the story. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. Do you see the exclamation point? What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. Hey, chariot, stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I love the urgency. Philip doesn't even know where the chariot's going. He's just gonna hop right in. The Lord is with me. Big, bold faith. And suddenly the first ever Ethiopian man comes to know Christ in Acts chapter 8, and he is a servant to the queen. I believe that he may have went back as a missionary. He left and he went back different. Come on, he goes back to Africa as a missionary to serve the queen and to share something good. Here's what God did in my life. And if you know this story, can I just tell you, sidebar? If you read this, it's wild, right? It says that after Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch came up out of the water, it says that the Spirit took Philip away and put him in a different city. This is the first ever biblical teleportation. That's at least what, how I read it. I don't know how to read it any other way than that. Y'all can help me if you get a better answer. It says, as they came out of the water, it says the Ethiopian eunuch, he was like, yo, where'd Philip go? Where'd the cat that baptized me? He was gone. And it says he went on his way. Philip landed in another city. He was probably like, hey, Storm, where are we? What city are we in right now? Oh, man, you in Azotus. For real? And it says he went on his way preaching Jesus and making disciples. And you know what? This is the day. Amen. I don't know how much I can stress it, but what about this day? Let me give you one more example. Acts chapter 16, not long after that, you find Paul and Silas who were just beaten for their faith. I wrote about it in one of the devotionals. They had cast a demon out of a young girl who was a fortune teller. They changed her life, and now she was bad for business because she wasn't using that demonic spirit anymore. And so they beat up Paul and Silas. They had them thrown in the dungeon in Acts chapter 16. It says, the scripture says, at midnight, they were praising God and singing hymns. They were praying loud, singing to Jesus. It says the other people in jail were listening to them as they sang. Suddenly, the room shook, the doors flung open, and everybody got released. Their praise unlocked freedom into the atmosphere. How powerful is worship, amen? How powerful is singing praise? We see an example there. Now, all the other criminals start going out. Now, it was punishable by death for a jailer to let a prisoner escape. So the jailer there goes, what is going on right now? He grabs his sword ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas go, wait, time out, time out. We're still here. And the jailer looks at them and says, what must I do to be saved? What a question. Paul looks back. Believe upon the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. Now, if that was the end of the story, that would still be a worthy, clap, powerful moment. But listen to me, that's not the end of the story. So what happens next? They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Okay, so hold on a second. This guy, remember, it was just midnight, right? Right? Y'all with me? So it's midnight. Let's just say now it's like 12:45 a.m. And now he puts his sword down. He puts his faith in Jesus and he says, all right, come back to my house. So now Paul and Silas started the night in jail, all beat up and all bloody. Now they go with the guy who was watching them to his house. I love the Bible. He's got to wake up his wife. Hey, hey, babe, come downstairs. Hey, kids, get up, get up, get up, come downstairs. I'm sure wifey's like, who are these guys? And she goes, that's Paul and Silas. They were thrown in prison earlier, and they started singing songs of Jesus around midnight, and then like the whole prison cells opened up. It was super weird. Everybody ran out. I almost killed myself, but they stopped me. And I just said, how do I get saved? And they preached Jesus to me, and now we're here. Wow. So Paul and Silas, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night. Y'all see the same hour? Today. Hey, can y'all come back tomorrow morning? Today. The same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once. Oh, man, what a story. Come on, keep reading, keep reading. So he and his family, right, the scriptures say, that he and his family took this next step. Then he brought them up into his house, set food before them. He rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. What a transformation, redemptive story today. Today, church. Today. I want to encourage you to process that. That's their stories, but what about your story? One of my favorite movies is Rocky number 3. I don't know if you've ever got a chance to see Rocky 3. I love the whole Rocky series, but Rocky number 3, Rocky's getting ready to take on a new opponent. He is a bad guy. His name is Clubber Lane. And Clubber Lane is played by a guy named Mr. T. Now, if y'all don't know who Mr. T is, Google him, all right? Now, Mr. T was famous for saying, "I pity the fool." Come on. Anybody want to just say it? Go ahead and say it. "Pity the fool." Or "pity the fool," right? "Pity the fool, pity the fool." And so Rocky is now getting ready for this big dynamic fight. And Clubber Lane was known for talking a lot of trash, and he was very negative toward Rocky, and Rocky was going through some stuff. He finally got a little bit of fame, and he's trying to figure things out. He had gotten into a little argument with his wife, and he's getting ready for this fight, and he's training. In this moment now, he's sparring with Apollo Creed, the champ who he had fought in the first two fights. And there's this picture here. I'll put it up here on the screen where Rocky and Apollo are there in the, you know, in the gym. It's dark. It's sweaty. It's hard work, and they're sparring. And Apollo seems to just be hitting Rocky in the face over and over and over again, to where Apollo finally stops and says, "Hey, yo, Rock, what are you doing right now? Come on, wake up, tap in." And Rocky's like, yeah, you're right. My bad. My bad. Hey, yo. And they get back into sparring, and they get back to it, and you could tell Rocky's distracted and he feels heavy. And suddenly, Apollo hits him 1, 2, 3, 4 times in a row in his face. Finally, Apollo says, "Yo, Rock, what is going on with you right now?" And Rocky looks back at him, and he says to him, Tomorrow, we got it, tomorrow. And there's this moment in the film where Apollo Creed stops what he's doing. He looks at Rocky in the eyes, and he says, "There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow, 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 tomorrow." And it's in that moment in the film where there's like, boom, da-da-da-da-da-doom, right? There's this moment of transformation that happens in Rocky's life when he starts to realize, you know what? Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow can't wait. I have to do it now. There is no tomorrow, Walk Church. There is no tomorrow, person watching this online. This is the day right now. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts. If you sense the Lord moving and prompting you to do something today, take a step and do it. If you need some counsel, ask somebody to speak into it. But today, now's the favorable time. The moment you got breath in your lungs, this is the day. Today they got baptized. Today they heard his voice. Today they prayed a prayer. Today they repented of sin. Today they broke the chains. Today, there is no tomorrow. There's something within us that's going to say, it's okay, just don't get uncomfortable. Just do it tomorrow. In fact, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, there's going to be a time where people will jump from church to church to church looking for somebody to just tell them what they want to hear. And I'm saying, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. You know what you need to hear? Today. Take a step today. What's God calling you to do today? We cannot guarantee that we'll see tomorrow, but I do believe we can influence it. Can't guarantee you'll make it to tomorrow, but I can guarantee if you do some stuff today, and God lets you see tomorrow, it'll impact tomorrow. You can start preparing for the future by getting better today, by taking a step into the right now. If you want to go deeper in 2026, it won't happen by luck. It'll happen by you saying, I'm going to deepen my discipline. It starts today. Amen? Amen. I can't believe that was the first point of my sermon. I'm running out of time. I got time for one more verse. Can I share one more scripture with you? Do y'all got energy for one more scripture? I just want to read one more verse before we close up this service today. One more passage. The first point was today, make it count. Make today count. Let's look at this next passage of scripture up here on the screen. John chapter 5. Follow along with me. I want to introduce you to a moment where Jesus encounters a man at the pool of Bethesda. Here's what the scriptures say. Use your imagination. Put yourself in the story. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In other words, this is a pretty large area that has these different pool structures, and we'll see who's around the pools that day. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. This was a place where sick people were brought, or sick people hung out together. Sick people were looking for help. They're there at the pool. There's even some bizarre superstitions that if you get pushed into a pool at the right time while it's stirred up, maybe that could bring healing to your body. And some people were believing that. Keep reading with me. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. It's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him. Now, hold on a second. You're telling me the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Messiah, is there at the pool on this day. And the guy who's been invalid for 38 years is about to have a conversation with the Lord. Oh, I love God. Here's what he says. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" What a question, church. Jesus shows up in the middle of your mess and he says, "Hey, you, sir, do you want to be healed?" Now, I want us to just take a moment and look at the response of the man. I'm just going to say, let's just say I'm the guy, and let's just say I'm sitting over here by the pool. And here's Jesus, the Messiah, the incarnate God-man, asks me, 38 years, my prayer every year, "Lord, heal. Do you want to be healed?" Now, the response blows me away. Church, look at the response. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and you know, while I'm going another steps down before me." That's his response. You know what I hear when I read that? Excuses, excuses, excuses. Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, do you want to be healed?" And he says, "Oh, you know, sir, you know, there's no one really to push me in." Stop blaming people for what they did or didn't do. "There's no one really to push me in. And then you know what? Sometimes other people jump in before me." I remember once hearing one of our pastors, Pastor George, preach on this text. He said, I'm not going to let people make excuses for me. I got to respond to the call. Right? That motivated me. I hope you're encouraged today that, you know what? I got to take my own step. And what if Jesus is asking you the same question? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be disciplined? Do you want to grow? Do you want to be new? I hope that you don't say, "Well, no one called me back. No one invited me. Nobody opened the Bible and read the Bible for me. Nobody, you know, nobody held me accountable." Look, at some point, you got to start being accountable for yourself. "Well, there's no one there to give me a ride." Brother, sister, they didn't have rides back then. They had feet. Walk. Do what you got to do. Find a phone. Call somebody. Stop making excuses. What? Hold on a second. How does Jesus reply to this guy? Here's what Jesus says. "They'll stir it up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Feel bad for me. I'm a victim." Jesus says, "Man, get up. Get up." I don't know if that's how he said it, Pastor Marvin, but that's how I heard it. That's how I read it. I think Jesus just looked at him and said, "I'm not going to entertain your boo-hoo story. Get up. Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." Oh, I love the walk. "Get up, grab your stuff, and get out of this place. Get out of this area that maybe you found your identity and your home in. God's bringing you into a new season, amen? You got to get up, take up your bed, and you got to start walking, start stepping, start doing something new." I love how Jesus doesn't even say, "Oh, yeah, you're right, man, you're right, man. No one's there to pick you up, man. Man, that's so tough. Get up." And at once, the man was healed. He had to believe that what was being spoken over him was real. Yeah. He was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath. What a great day. What a rest day to see salvation come and healing and deliverance come to this. Man, oh, I want to talk to him in heaven someday. I'm going to say, "Man, I used you in a sermon. I hope that's okay." But I wanted to use your example as, you know what, don't make excuses today. Sometimes I'll hear people that have good intention, good heartedness, don't get me wrong, but they'll say stuff like this. They'll say, hey, you know what, Pastor Hayden, I'm excited. I'm going to get baptized this year. I'm like, I believe in Jesus. I tell, man, that's awesome. When you want to do it? And they go, man, I'm going to do it on my birthday. I say, oh, man, when's your birthday? They'll be like, December 8th. I'm like, it's January 11th. You're going to wait all year long to be obedient to what God told you to do today. Like, on your birthday, get you a nothing bun cake. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. But take a step today that God's calling you. You know, at some point when I get stuff situated, some point when I figure it out, you know, then, no. Today, if you hear the Lord prompting you, don't harden your heart like they did in the day of rebellion. Today, get up. Today, take a step. Today, start walking it out. Oh, I had a brother come up to me in this service, right before this service started, before I was coming. He said, wait, I got to tell you something. I said, what you got, man? He said, dude, I've been smoking weed for 15 years. It's all I've done. But something about this fast, the Lord told me to stop. And he goes, I'm 7 days in. I feel better. I feel like I'm growing. Look, I'm not trying to put anybody else's obedience on you. I'm just trying to tell you a story of somebody who said, I had a moment and I listened to his voice. However the Lord speaks to you, take a step. Walk it out. Trust God with the stuff that you can't control. Love how Craig Groeschel says it. He says, you can have control or you can have growth. Let go of the control. Trust God for the growth. Amen. God, do it. Do something in me today. There is no tomorrow. Today. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this message today. God, I pray that this word would be helpful for somebody. God, I pray we would stop with the excuses and start with the obedience. And God, I pray that we would trust you in every area, even the ones that are hard, even the ones that may not even make sense to the flesh. God, we love you. We trust you. And if there's one person here in this room right now, if you're here in this place and you're ready to be saved, I just want to invite you to call on the name of the Lord. Just right this moment, I want to invite you to call on his name. If that's you and you're like, you know what, Pastor Hyde, you're preaching to me. I'm ready to be saved. Would you just lift your hand up right now? This be your get up moment right now. You can get up if you want. God, I believe there's somebody that's here in this place. Somebody just said, you know what? I want to stand. I just want to stand right now. I'm ready. I can't do this on my own. God, I lift up my sister over here. Lift both of them up over here. God, I pray for anybody who's responding online right now. And if you're standing or if your hand is up right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Would you just say, Lord, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen my hands. Touch my heart. Heal my mind. Free me of my sins. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose for me. And today I repent of any sins in my life. Help me, Lord, to walk in freedom. And when I fall, to get back up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.